Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030 for this Friday, April the 5th, 2013. Hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a very nice weekend. We thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday at noon on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We are streaming the show on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we make the program available by podcasting it for you. buckmastershow.com will take care of that for you. And we also have the show posted to tucsonsentinel.com and tucsoncitizen.com as well. Our Friday Focus interview today with State Senator Al Melvin. Senator Melvin is a Republican representing District 11. Joining me to question the senator, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. If you have a question or comment for Senator Melvin, he would be delighted to hear from you. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. Sarah, thank you for being here. Good to see you.
Nice to see you.
Senator, good to see you again.
Good to be here, Bill.
Well, this session of the legislature looks like it will be a long one and contentious because of the disagreement over the governor's proposed expansion of Medicaid. Where are we right now with that, Senator?
Well, as our state Senate President Andy Biggs said, if it wasn't for the Medicaid expansion, we'd get it done on time within 100 days, and we'd be out of there on or about the 23rd of April. But this Medicaid expansion is such a contentious issue. I'm hearing the end of May and longer.
Maybe right up until budget time, which would be the end of the fiscal year, June 30th.
Mm-hmm.
It could go that long.
It could.
Here's Sarah Garrett Gasson.
Well, first, Senator, I wanted to ask the most important question. How's your dog?
Well, I have two Basset
Hounds.
You have
two? Okay.
Yeah. Before I had one, but now we have a little female to... They keep each other entertained. And, yeah.
Are you planning for more little?
No.
No?
Okay. No. They're
spay and neuter.
They're high maintenance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I know that animals can bring all sorts of people together, so
mm-hmm,
I wanted to make sure that they were doing well.
Yes.
I wanted to – we were talking a little bit before the show about the situation with the Veterans Office or Department and Terry Proud and the leader, Lieutenant Colonel Strickland, over there. And just a quick recap, former state legislator Terry Proud said something that didn't go over very well with some of the folks about women in combat and menstruation and how do they figure all that out. And it turned into basically – she lost her job before she even took it. And then the head of the department, Strickland, either was fired or resigned. So because the governor had asked or told Strickland, don't hire, you know, Terry Proud. Mm-hmm. So my question is, what is your insight into why the governor would issue such an order for about a specific person?
Well, I had 30 years in the Naval Reserve. I retired as a Navy captain, which is the equivalent of a full colonel in the Army Air Force. He had pretty much 30 years in the Army, I believe, retiring as a lieutenant colonel. You know, people refer to him as Colonel Joey Strickland, and that is the proper way to address a lieutenant colonel, is not to say lieutenant.
I apologize for that, Colonel.
No, but some people, you know, even on television, they don't understand that. But so to me, this thing about him being told by the governor not to hire Terry Proud, I know from my experience, and I think I can speak for him, if you're told that by the person you report to, then that's it. So that doesn't sound quite right to me. If he was told not to hire her, I'm sure he would not have hired her. I don't think it's that straightforward, frankly.
Oh, so you're thinking that there may be more to the explanation of the governor said don't do it and he did it.
I know from my own military and business background, if my immediate superior told me not to do something, especially in the realm of personnel administration, I mean, you wouldn't do it. So that confuses me. But as we were talking before the show, I have the utmost respect for this man. From what I can see, what he's done in this state, I bet if he's not the best in the country, he's in the top five state directors for veteran services. As I said, he started this housing unit for female veterans who are homeless. I think it's the first in the nation. If you check that, I think you'll find it's true. He's helped us finally to get a veteran cemetery on the north side of Marana for all of our veterans in the greater Tucson area, you know, a population total, general population of over a million. He's just a wonderful guy. I've worked with him for 5 years. If I was Governor Brewer, I would reinstate him, and quickly, because the loss of him is hurtful to all Arizona veterans and to the state in general, in my view.
Any insight you can give us on the relationship between Governor Brewer and Terry Proud?
No, but, you know, it's interesting how things kind of get blown out of proportion. For one, you know, we've been engaged in Iraq and in Afghanistan for an extensive period of time. And we've had women in the armed forces on the front line. I mean, the real question about females, and it's come up recently, is should they be in Navy SEAL teams? Should they be in the special forces of the Army? Should they be on submarines? And the Obama administration has just come out and said all of the above. So they're in the past, up until now, they haven't been in those specific frontline type infantry units where but they've been on the front line, and unfortunately many have been killed.
Are you going to call the governor's office and ask that Colonel Strickland be reinstated?
Well, I've tweeted on the subject. I'm trying to support the man as best I can. And now that I've heard that he may have communicated with her.
Yeah, he wanted
if that's the case,
rescind his resignation and wanted her to rip it up and let him stay on.
Okay. Well, if that indeed is true, then I would be one. You know, my primary committee assignment in the Senate, I'm the chairman of the Commerce, Energy, and Military Committee. So I think it would be fitting for me.
It would be appropriate.
Yeah. And if that's true, I'll most likely do it, and soon.
All right. Senator Al Melvin is with us, 790-2040, 790-2040. If you have a question or comment for Senator Melvin, he'd be delighted to hear from you. Getting back to the expansion on this very contentious issue of Medicaid, what is your principal objection to that expansion, Senator?
Well, one thing, the older I get, the more I realize how important leadership is, and we have an excellent Senate president in Andy Biggs. He's a budgeteer. He knows appropriations. Our current balanced budget and the one before it basically are his budgets. And we're looking out 3 years in advance, and they will be balanced. His belief, and I agree with him, is if we go through with this Medicaid expansion, the state will never have a balanced budget again.
Ever.
It'll be so out of whack with so much federal money involved and numbers of individuals. I just believe, and I'm in that school of thought that believes it's the wrong thing to do, and that's why, and there are enough of us that it could go till the end of May or longer. One of the keys here on this issue is Prop 108, and people who will research this was passed by the voters back in the late 1990s, that any tax increase requires a two-thirds vote of the legislature. And if it's a simple majority, those, me and others like-minded, will lose. But if it's a two-thirds vote, which I believe the hospital bed tax would trigger the Prop 108, then we feel we have a chance to stop it.
I'm going to take a break right here. We'll be back with Senator Melvin and Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. It is the Friday Focus interview on The Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rebel. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
This is John Fina.
You're...
This is Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
I'm Bruce B.
Hey there.
This is Andy Brown.
Great to see you.
Hi, this is Bert Williams.
I thought I just saw you at...
This is Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
My name is Jerry Fitzgerald.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see you.
This is Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
This is Rita Marshall.
I didn't know you were coming.
This is Bill Huss.
Can I get you anything?
Hi, Richard White.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party, too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD. Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects and creating more than 2,500 jobs since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony. Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1219. I think we're going to go right to the Buckmaster Show live line with Senator Al Melvin is our guest on this Friday, and Sarah Garrett Gasson is here from The Star. Dan, go ahead. You're with Senator Melvin.
Oh, thank you very much. Sounds like a very common sense guest that you've got there. I don't know why this is not being discussed. I spent 25 years in the service in Korea and Vietnam, and I played the high school and college sports, including football. And I can tell you that combat is infinitely more stressful and difficult and terrible than college or high school sports. And yet we are determined to put our young women into foxholes with blood and guts all around them for weeks on end. And yet they have to have their own girls' teams in high school and college. Can you explain that to me, please?
Let me explain one thing. I think I spent 30 years in the Naval Reserve, retiring as a Navy captain, the equivalent of an Army full colonel. My dad was a career Army officer, retired as a lieutenant colonel. One thing that rarely comes up in the discussion is the topic of equal opportunity for promotion. I think that's one reason they keep pressing the issue that women, if they're not given these opportunities, will not be able to get promoted. But if you research the subject, every one of the five services, including the Coast Guard, has had women at the 3- and 4-star level. I mean, they have, they've been promoted. In my career, I've seen women at all levels. I remember seeing a 3-star female general, Marine Corps, at the Naval War College where I graduated. So the opportunities are there. I don't think the frontline combat unit has to be necessarily opened up for them to have full access for promotion, in my view. But
One question about that comes to mind is there will be obviously exceptions or the rare person, but is it an equal access in equal numbers to the opportunity for promotion? I mean, there's people like Colonel Martha McSally, mm-hmm. who's clearly had a very successful career in the military. But is that, to me, she seems to be more the exception than the rule in terms of just looking at the sheer numbers of men and women at different ranks.
Well, for instance, I know for up until very recently, we've had women on all naval vessels except submarines. And the Navy said, okay, we're going to do everything we can to open up that warfare community, undersea warfare. And they did it with the large submarines that are missile launchers because they're bigger. You can have female showers and quarters, all of that. Yeah. Where on a fast attack, it's so small, you just can't do it. But so I think wherever they can, they're opening up the opportunities. One reason you mentioned Colonel Martha McSally. One reason American fighter pilots are so good, it's based on ability, not connection. So when we go up against Middle Eastern countries and other countries, those pilots are picked based on family or political connection, not in the United States. It's based on ability, whether you're male or female. I personally believe that there are plenty of opportunities there. Even the Marine Corps, as macho an outfit as that may be, I think I mentioned I met a 3-star female Marine Corps general, and I really do believe the military is doing everything it can. I do have a problem with, in a sense, of women being on a SEAL team or on a special forces team where they're really going into a situation that I think we have to stop and think about it.
12:24 on the Buckmaster Show. Senator Al Melvin is here and Sarah Garrett Gasson of The Star.
Well, along those lines, why What is stopping what your line of thinking? What is stopping you from thinking that having women on SEAL Team, Special Forces, is it something pertaining to women inherently and their abilities, or could you explain why you think that would be an exception?
Well, I, you know, it comes up in the issue of fire departments and things, the upper body strength and all of that. But, I mean, there are certain military units like the SEAL team that took out Osama bin Laden. I mean, that is just it's a type of business that I guess if they give the women an opportunity to qualify, and
if they can meet the physical qualification, you'd be okay with it.
I'd be okay.
You had some difficulty again with this texting. You and Senator Farley have tried. And how many years you've tried? You and Farley have tried on this thing forever. I think eventually, Senator, and perhaps you can weigh in on this, I think the federal government will step in and make it like a mandatory thing, no texting.
Well, I've worked on it for 5 years now. This latest version of it, which didn't get through the process, unfortunately, is so narrow. As I said before, I've got all of the insurance companies in Arizona plus all the cell phone companies on board with the bill, and it was so narrow as to be for teenagers only, for their driver learning permit, in a six-month period. You know, I mean, it could not have been more narrow, but some people, you know, it's what I call political philosophical purity. Some people call it nanny state, but I'm convinced, I have people come up to me day in and day out saying that lives are at stake, and I look at it as a life-saving piece of legislation. I really do.
And speaking of lives being at stake, back to the Medicaid expansion, if we could get to that for a moment. You've said that you're against the expansion of Medicaid. It's just a practical matter. What are people who don't have insurance, don't have access to health care because of their income or other reasons, what are they supposed to do when they get sick or have an emergency or have cancer or something like that?
Well, actually, I've been looking at two possibilities. One is something that they're doing in the state of New Jersey, where the state gets involved in helping doctors with their malpractice insurance. It's kind of a quid pro quo. They take a large part of that burden off doctors, and in return, doctors give some free medical
pro bono work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It appears to be working there. That's one approach. Another is a type of a catastrophic insurance fund that would be general fund as well as private money for those who are not covered by the regular Medicaid, what we call access, that they would, for the heart transplant and that type of thing, that they would be covered. But, you know, it's very interesting what's happening in, we've got Obamacare and all that that's going on, but at the same time, if you go to Walgreens, Costco, Walmart, they've got these clinics going that are very practical, and I'm hoping to see that will be expanded. But one of my major worries here is that we won't be able to balance the budget. And if I could say just really quick, when I got to the Senate in 2009, the budget was $11.6 billion. It's now $8.6 billion. We reduced it by $3 billion. It's balanced now. The world didn't blow up or disintegrate. But three things happened for us. We went from the bottom in the bottom 10 to the top 10 states. We're now number one in business creation. We went from 46th to 4th in job creation, and we're number 10 in overall business climate compared to California. good things happen when you balance your budgets.
Senator Al Melvin, thank you very much for spending a half an hour with us, and good luck with this legislative session that right now is a session with no end in sight, is a safe way of putting it. Senator Melvin, have a great weekend.
Check out SenatorMelvin.com. I look at this as a full-time job. I don't care if it goes till the end of December. Thanks.
Reporters Roundtable is coming up next. Dan Scheer will join us from the Green Valley News, and Sarah Garrett Gasson will stay with us from the Arizona Daily Star. We will be right back.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Obama administration is delaying the closure of 149 airport control towers until mid-June in order to deal with some legal challenges. First 24 closures had been slated for Sunday. The Justice Department hasn't yet said whether it will appeal today's ruling by a federal judge striking down the age restrictions on the over-the-counter purchases of the morning-after pill. Republicans who have been pushing for reductions in the growth of Social Security and other federal benefits programs could see some of what they want in the president's budget proposal for next year. On Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of today's trading, the Dow is down about 92 points, the Nasdaq off 32, and the S&P 500 index trading 12 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Since 2006, the RTA has completed more than 500 projects, including 180 miles of bikeways and more than 50 bus pullouts. Current projects include La Cañada from Ina to River and the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars have created more than 2,500 road construction jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI. It is Tucson's intelligent voice. Time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable featuring local journalists sounding off on the week's top stories. Joining me on the roundtable today, Sarah Garrett-Gasson, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. Dan Scheer is with us. Dan is editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. If you have a comment or question, the Buckmaster Show live line is open for you at 790-2040. The Reporters Roundtable is brought to you by the City of Benson, which is hosting its 8th annual Bluegrass Festival in the Park, April 26th, 27th, and 28th at the Lions Park in Benson, Arizona. Benson is only 45 minutes east of Tucson on Interstate 10. It's going to be a great weekend, a fun family weekend, great performers, free workshops, and day camping. See the complete schedule of events for Benson's Bluegrass in the Park by visiting BensonVisitorCenter.com. Are you a bluegrass fan, Sarah?
I do enjoy listening to bluegrass and watching banjo players' fingers.
Oh.
It's like the speed of light.
Well, it might be a nice outing for you and the family to go over to Benson.
I do enjoy Benson as well.
Yeah, there you go, the end of the month. Dan, I know you love all music.
Absolutely, and I love Benson too, and Wilcox.
Thank you very much. Let's begin, just pick up on our interview with Senator Melvin. Sarah, I get the distinct impression, and Dan, if you are hearing any of that, that this legislative session, there's no end in sight to this.
No, there's really not. It's probably, I heard, was speaking with someone up there today, and they're talking about July, you know, but this is the time when there's not a whole lot of other stuff to do, I guess, so they keep bringing up these sort of bizarre bills, like the bathroom bill
which
that we've been talking about.
Touched on. Wrote about.
Yes. Yes, wrote about.
Yes, touched on is probably not the right way to put it. But
yeah, no touching.
No touching. That was your Thursday column, and perhaps we can what should we address it right now?
Or it's up to you.
What do you think? I mean, go ahead.
Basically, it's a piece of legislation that was in response.
Is that the potty bill?
Yes, the potty bill. And the best thing that I've seen was a thing on Facebook, and it says, "Let our people go." And it's a picture of a toilet. And basically, I mean, it's we laugh about it, but it is serious in that it's directed at a specific group of people, transgender people, and it's a very discriminatory bill. And it's in response to something that the Phoenix City Council did, banning discrimination on the basis of gender identity or appearance. And so Senator John Kavanaugh from up north put up legislation that would make it illegal to use a restroom that did not basically match your
birth certificate.
Your birth certificate.
Okay.
So, yes, thank you.
You have to be carded.
Yeah, yeah. So, but think about it.
Yeah,
if
it's
you're
crazy.
If
it's
you're transgender and you're living as a woman, and from your outward appearance, you're a woman, you're going to show up in the men's room. That's going to go over really
Dan,
well.
Dan, it's just another distraction. They need to get down to business, get some of the silliness out of the way.
Well, you know, it is silly, but I think it's also serious because I'm uneasy with the idea of putting a woman in a bathroom with someone who's genetically and biologically a male and telling her to deal with it. So you really need to take this issue and look at it from the other standpoint, because the knife really cuts both ways on this. The transgender person feels put out, but so do those who don't want to share a public restroom with someone of the opposite sex. And so it's one of those senses of, are they with us? Yes, we accept that. But then at some point, people are feeling something that's foisted upon them. So it's really quite a serious issue overall. This bill is a little odd.
Well, I mean, this isn't in response to anything in particular. It's not like there was some sort of outbreak of transgendered people, you know, busting in on people in the bathroom. It's something that a person who is living with a gender identity problem, is transgendered, knows full well how to, you know, you don't just march into a restroom and say, ta-da, here I am. It's something that people deal with all the time. And frankly, bathrooms have stalls. I don't see the big deal. There's another issue if someone is going into a locker room and behaving inappropriately. There's laws on the books for that. But this bill is so bad, not because it's about a behavior, it's about who the person is.
And I disagree, because I think it's about a woman being in a bathroom and suddenly a man walks in. And you can say this is a person living life as a woman. I get it. I understand. But this is a man. And so that's where the discomfort comes. So I have a hard time wrapping my head around this, because I'm not a woman, so I don't know how I would feel with suddenly being in this enclosed place and a man walks in.
But people aren't going. I mean, they're there to use the facilities. They're not there to do anything else. So, I mean, I think clearly we disagree with it.
Right.
But
okay.
Also, I think it's something that it's a piece of legislation that's targeted at a group that isn't in a response to a problem that's come up.
Right. Moving on, Arizona Attorney General Tom Horn's going to go to court, it looks like, to block BSBY from implementing a newly approved ordinance recognizing civil unions for same-sex couples. Dan, you work for the you have a paper in BSBY, a sister publication.
Correct. WIC Communications owns the paper in BSBY, and boy, there have been a couple of really interesting council meetings down there. And the last one drew about 100 people. 75 of them wanted to speak.
Wow.
And largely it is, and I don't want to cut this too clearly, but largely it's along religious lines for a lot of people who are just opposed to this. But it's interesting that the city attorney, John McKinnon, who drew up the ordinance, says, look, if the state wants to fight us on it, I will represent BSBY and I'll do it for free. And that drew literally gasps from the crowd and then applause. So BSBY is really going to stand firm on this, but the community is having quite a discussion about it.
I think it's interesting in that Tucson has had similar, not identical, but similar sort of civil protections for same-sex couples for a long time, and it's not viewed as controversial. But isn't BSBY fairly well known for being a gay-friendly
Absolutely
tourist
it is.
Place?
Absolutely.
I mean, I think there's economic ramifications that go beyond just people who live there.
And people are concerned about that, too. But some people are again, this is, again, the knife cuts both ways. Is this a good thing for BSBY or is this a bad thing for BSBY? I don't think anybody should be surprised that the first one in the state to try this is BSBY, for the exact reason you said.
It's a very vibrant, interesting community.
Absolutely.
That's attracted lots of people, and that's what makes it so great.
It's our Friday Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show. You're listening to AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Sarah Garrett-Gasson, editorial writer for The Star, and Dan Scheer, the editor for the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. TMC backing out of a partnership. Tucson Medical Center had a partnership with a developer to open a hospital in Green Valley that would serve Green Valley and Sahorita, and now TMC's out.
Yeah, there's a question there about whether they ever were technically a partner, but we'll leave that. But right now, McDowell Enterprises, which is the developer and the one who's been getting all the chief financial backer right now, is looking for someone else to step in. They still insist that they are going to break ground on that thing this month, which is interesting. How do you build a hospital and then have somebody fit into it? It's a very odd thing. They do say that possibly it would be pushed back to summer of next year when the opening would be But I'll tell you right now, we made a phone call to the developer yesterday, and we delivered the news to them that they no longer had TMC on board.
Are you kidding?
No. So things
TMC had not called them first?
That's what McDowell Enterprises has said. TMC says, oh, no, they should have known this. But I'm going to tell you flat out, TMC has been very disappointing with us working on this whole thing since the hospital initially was announced. They've been very coy about it. And in the end, they've decided, you know what, we're just not going to make money down there. They will not say that to us, but I spoke to someone who's been very close to this project and said, yeah, they decided they couldn't make any money. So we'll see if they can come up with another partner.
Well, it's a shame. I don't live in that area, but I know you do, Dan and Sarah. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be a real enhancement to the community to have medical facilities there.
It definitely would. I mean, just look at what Oro Valley Hospital has done for
done
the
great
community up there.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely
a beautiful facility. And plus, it's kind of scary to think, once you realize it, that you're, you know, a half hour away should something awful happen. And there's an elderly population with a lot of complicated medical needs. There's medical offices all over the place and some urgent cares, but not a full hospital.
That's exactly right. And Carondelet just announced last year that, okay, we're not going to do a hospital here, but they are going to do a large group of doctors' offices and facilities or whatever. It's not a hospital, however, and that is what was planned, and that was in the town of Sahuarita. So that's not happening. Now, this one may not happen also. And I'll tell you what, historically, Green Valley has had the football pulled several times regarding a hospital. I hope this isn't the latest one and that it actually does happen in the end.
The strange case of former state lawmaker Terry Proud, who was hired by Colonel Strickland, the Arizona Veterans Administration, Veterans Affairs Director, who got fired over hiring Terry Proud. And all of this, well, part of Terry Proud's comments originated from a reporter who I think worked for you, Dan, as an intern last summer.
Right. Bethany Barnes was a science intern for us last semester, and she works for Arizona Sonora News Service, which is out of the University of Arizona. And sent her a note and said, hey, welcome to the firestorm, because all us journalists find ourselves in it at some point. And she did a good job. She reported accurately. And I think the surprise here was that Terry Proud didn't know that the governor doesn't like her, I guess is really what it amounts to. And I know you're talking about it a little earlier, but for Terry Proud, who really is out there and fairly transparent, and she'll let you know what she's thinking, she should have held her tongue. I do believe, I would agree with your guess that having Strickland out is not good for Arizona.
And right. Senator Melvin did say, I asked him, are you going to call the governor? And he said he was.
Yeah.
He's head of the committee in the legislature, in the Senate, that deals with military affairs, so it would seem appropriate for him to call.
I would, yeah, if that's the way he's leaning. And I also just have to say that Bethany Barnes was an apprentice at the Arizona Daily Star, too. She's
all
a
right.
graduate student at the U of A, and she knows her stuff.
She does. She really has.
Very bright future.
Yeah, she's doing an internship right now up at the legislature and has is keeping a watch out for local issues, and she has done a terrific job on this story, and I hope she sticks to her guns.
I was going to move on to this story about Arizona clamping down on service animals. I know, Dan, in Green Valley, that's an important topic.
It sure is. And what is a service animal? And we think about it as a blind person who needs a dog. But out in California, one woman had convinced somebody that a rat was a service animal. By the way, this is another Bethany Barnes story. Now the legislature has sent a bill to the governor to be signed that says a service animal can be a dog, or in some cases, do they call them mini horses or just
miniature horses?
Short
horses. Okay, we have done stories on this in the past, and people who manage grocery stores are really tentative about this, because you're allowed to ask somebody who has an animal in the store, is that a service animal, and what service does it provide for you? And that's it. So people are lying all the time, and so they bring their animals in, and they because they just want them with them. They don't want to leave them out in a hot car, or they can't live without them for an hour and leave them at home while they're out shopping or something. But people lie all the time. And Arizona has a very, very loose definition of what a service animal is. Now we're going to bring it in line with the federal regulations, which is much, much tighter. I think this is a real good move.
Well, the definition of service animal and what service they provide, and I'm not saying that people don't lie. I'm sure They do. But there are also people with syndromes on the autistic scale or other psychological PTSD, things like that, do have – there have been studies done that animals that you might not think of, you know, perhaps a rat or a ferret or something, do provide a medical service in terms of comfort. So – but, yeah, it's in terms of – Senator Melvin was talking about, you know, like turtles. That's,
bring your turtle to the...
Yeah. My tortoise is not really interested in helping me with anything.
But like you say, it is not obvious what the disability is, so we shouldn't go in and start haranguing somebody.
Right.
But there has been a lot of abuse.
Can we take a quick call from the Buckmaster Show live line? I think this one's directed to you, Sarah, about a story that this individual would like you to cover.
Okay.
Go ahead, Bob.
Good afternoon. Actually, it was a story that kind of already happened, and I'm just curious that Councilmember Cunningham's chief of staff was arrested and had a kind of a drunken outburst with TPD and then tried to use her position to essentially get out of it. And I was curious. It was covered by almost every media outlet in the Valley with the exception of the Star. So I was curious why the Star chose not to anything on that issue.
Well, I can tell you that, well, first, understand that I'm in the editorial department, and so I write opinion, and so that's, I'm separate from the people who cover the news in the news pages, and so the editors there, we're separate, and we don't have influence on each other's choices of what we cover or what we don't. So I can't really speak to that. I know that we hear a lot about different things that people do, and it's a news judgment. I don't know, but I'm sorry that I just can't explain the reasoning why the editors on the news side decided not to cover it.
Okay, Linda is up next on the Buckmaster Show. Linda has a question about service animals. Go ahead, Linda.
Take my call. The concerns that I have, and two, that I really wish that the service animal, the people who have them, and everybody involved in that would really take a closer look at hygiene, even if somebody keeps their pet relatively clean, to have it above hip level on a public bus. There's been an uptick in that at seat level, which I think all legitimate service dogs should be on the floor. That's what we're used to. Then the second one is a few weeks ago, I was in a major supermarket, and there was a miniature horse, I guess that's what it was, and it was up to hip level. Now, when that's gone through your aisles in your supermarket, and then if you want to, like, ever bend down and look at something on the lower shelf, you're, like, sniffing in that stuff, and then you end up with a little something in your nose. You wonder how it got, you know, a little bit of stuffiness. Because I've always been, but I'm sensitive to pet allergens.
All right. We're gonna have to wrap it up, Linda, but I understand your concerns. Go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking that, this is why we have short dogs at home, because just so they can't get to the counter.
But, common courtesy. It's all about common courtesy.
But at PetSmart, you know, maybe that's a different situation.
All right. Dan and Sarah, thank you both very much. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
All right.
This is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Here's what our customers are saying about us.
They always go above and beyond to make sure everything is just perfect.
Nobody does it better than Arizona Party Rental.
They are one of the most professional group of people I've ever worked with.
They maintain high standards and deliver five-star service.
Arizona Party Rental always comes through with a smile.
Their selection is amazing, their advice terrific, and their service is remarkable.
Thanks a lot, everybody. Hey, you can join the party, too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
Looking for a cool getaway this July? I highly recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at bearmountainlodge.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
It's the weekend now on the Buckmaster Show, and if you're looking for a cool weekend getaway, may I recommend historic Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3.5 hours east of Tucson, it's a mile-high elevation, making for mild days and cool nights. Good place to get away from a quickly hot, warming up to southern Arizona. Many great places to stay, including Bear Mountain Lodge, Casitas de Gila, guest houses, and Continental Divide RV Park. For more information, check out Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico at southwestnewmexico.org. And here he is, Matt Russell, Inside Tucson business, food, and beverage writer, award-winning publicist, and now calling us in the Buckmaster Live Line from California with his surf and safari shirt.
Just minutes away from the Pacific Ocean, I'm donning my Buckmaster issue bathing suit and flip-flops on my kid's spring break. No better place to be. I love the sun of California.
We are quickly running out of time, so give me quickly your top three picks for the weekend, Matt.
We're always looking for a great lunch. Bella Daria, 4445 East Broadway, has just opened a new lunch menu. They're going to be having all kinds of quick bites, things like chicken cacciatore and Italian French dip. Always open for dinner, but they've just launched this new lunch menu Tuesday through Friday from 11 to 2. A great call today for lunch, but you better hurry over there.
What about at Lowe's? You don't usually think of barbecue and craft and beer going together.
Yeah, tonight at 6:30, there's a craft beer and barbecue dinner. There's going to be some smoked sausages, ribs, leg of lamb, smoked duck, all paired up with a different beer from Tucson's own Dragoon Beer Company. It's going to be tonight up at Lowe's. better get a reservation, though. There's only a few remaining, and you got to get over there and take advantage of that.
All right. And then if someone is looking for a nice glass of wine?
Yeah, Sunday from 4 to 6 is going to be a Catavinos wine shop over there on Alvernon near Fort Lowell. $20 gets you 6 premium wines and some yummy snacks to go along with it. And a portion of the money raised, Bill, is going to be going to the Southern Arizona Greyhound Adoption. Great way to catch the weekend, enjoy some great wines, and support a great charity.
Have a great weekend in California.
Bottoms up, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by our friends at Culligan. All of our guests and studio guests are provided with Culligan water. Our guests love it. We love it. And why wouldn't we? It's great water. It simply tastes better. The Buckmaster Show, a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, my lovely and talented producer, Rosemary Brandt, I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. John C. Scott's show comes up this afternoon, 3 to 5, right here on KVOI. Then Monday, it's Chris and Joe with Wake Up Tucson. And then Expert Talk, actually, before even Monday morning. We keep it going here. Begins tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Our friend Phil Cedar with his garden show comes on at 7 a.m. And he'll tell us what we should do in the garden this weekend. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great weekend.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.